broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And tonight, this hour is our news and information hour. A bipartisan group of lawmakers will take on marijuana legalization.
What do you call it?
Legalization. Legalization. Will drug laws finally change, and who cares? And then, a water balloon fight leads to seniors getting banned from their graduation and their prom. There's a great example of what I used to say, of what I say used to be a story that would, whatever, you know, it was a story that resonated through the school, and maybe the parents found out about it, and the kids, of course, didn't graduate, and it was a big scandal in, Ennsville, Louisiana, or wherever the hell it took place. Today, it's a national news story. It's on CBS News, East Rockaway, New York. Water balloon fight, they won't... This is now news, man, of a national, if not international nature. All right. Plus, one specific snack food has been found to be the worst at making you gain weight. The worst or the best? PhilHendryShow.com is our website. Head over there and get a backstage pass and watch the fireworks, man. Each and every night right here on the old Phil Hendry Show. And with your backstage pass, you get live streaming video of the show, our archives, our podcasts. It's all there, philhendryshow.com. Some Long Island high school students are paying a hefty price for their end-of-the-year hijinks. By the way, you have Bud Dickman and... how you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good, man. You all right?
I've been better.
Yeah, you're all pissed off or something.
I don't know.
Well, what's going on?
Well, I'm traveling next week, man. You know, I don't know.
You're going to Canada. You're going to go see your cousins.
I know I'm going to go see my cousins. I haven't seen my cousin in a long time. It's a lot of time away from home. There's a hell of a lot of work to be done. At this point, I don't even see the value in taking a vacation, you know.
Well, why, man? I mean, you got to take a vacation.
Yeah, I know, but there's too much stuff that's got to be done around here. Way too much. Way too much. And I don't see you guys getting it done.
Well, naturally, you're not going to be here. We're not going to do anything.
That's what I mean. So it's just going to be a bitch the next few days. Water balloon fight gets students banned from graduating. I didn't want to talk about it, okay?
No, talk. Forget about the water balloon. Give me that.
What are you doing?
Give me that. Talk about it.
Take the news out of my hand.
He said to talk about it.
So what are you guys telling me? What am I supposed to talk about?
You going on? Where are you going?
I'm going to Canada.
Where?
Toronto.
How come?
Give me that.
No, how come?
To see my cousins.
Yeah? How old are they?
I gotta tell you how old they are.
Well, you hadn't seen them in a long time, right?
I haven't seen them since the 60s, yeah.
Were they young?
Yeah, they were young. The last time I saw them, they were young, and now they're, you know, like my age.
Old.
Yeah, thank you. So, that's where I'm going, man.
Where do they live?
Well, they live outside of Toronto. They live outside of Toronto by about an hour.
Hour by airplane, an hour by dog sled.
An hour by car. Airplane.
All right, now we're getting specific. Now, where are you staying?
Will you shut up? That's none of your business where I'm staying. Well, I'll give you the number. It's your business. It's nobody's business on the air right now. No, I'm going to go to Toronto. I'm going on Sunday. I'm coming back on Friday. I was going to stay till Saturday, but I'm going to come back on Friday because I've got to. And I know 4th of July weekend is a week from this weekend. July the 1st is Canada Day.
What?
It's Canada Day.
What's that mean?
That's their day. That's their Independence Day.
Then how the July 1st, their Independence Day, and ours is 4th? Do they just line it up like that?
I don't know, man. January the 1st, July the 1st is the day that Canada Day gained its independence from Britain. July the 1st, so it's called Canada Day. And that's going to be on, when the hell is that, man? 1, 2, 3, I think it's on a Friday or a Saturday. Maybe July the 1st is a Saturday, something. But I'm going to be leaving on the Friday, coming back on Friday, so I can be here for... First of all, so I can be here for the Saturday night KFI show, and I can be here for the 4th of July weekend, you know. But I'm only going to just stay a few days, okay?
You ever talk to that guy Strombosis or Strombolono?
Who's Strombolono? You mean Strombolopoulos?
Yeah, what is that guy?
That's a guy that's on TV in Canada, George Strombolopoulos. And,
is that really a name?
That's his name. And anyway, he and I follow each other on Twitter, and I thought, well, if I'm going to go to Toronto, maybe I can go see the George Strombolopoulos show, And then I thought maybe, nah, it's got to be a fake name. And then I realized, no, it's real, because I looked it up and there it was, CBC, the George Strombolopoulos Show. I thought it was for sure some sort of a cartoon show, or
maybe the guy looked like George Ebert.
George Ebert?
You mean Roger Ebert?
Yeah, Roger Ebert.
What do you mean he looked like Roger Ebert?
Well, with a name like Strombolopoulos.
Yeah, you know, it's true. So anyway, I messaged him. I said, well, you know, I'm going to be in Toronto next week, and I would like to see your show, because his show is kind of an interesting show. I looked at it online on the CBC.
What's that?
The Canadian Broadcasting Company or Corporation, something like that. So anyway, I looked at it, and it's kind of a cross between, I don't know how, like it's a kind of an interview show, but then he stands there at a, it's like Dennis Miller's show used to be, sort of a cross between Dennis Miller and a one-on-one interview segment like, I don't know, like Arsenio Hall or something. And he's got a studio audience, okay?
Who's Arsenio Hall?
He was a guy that did a kind of an interview show. And anyway, and then he has a studio audience, and he's a young guy, about 38 years old. He does interviews. I've seen him do these interviews, like he had on Neil Peart from Rush.
Well, yeah, you're going to have on Canadian guys.
Well, no, he had like Brian Wilson, he had a few other guys. What do you mean Canadian guys? Just because he's Canadian, only Canadian bands?
The bad guy's Canadian.
All right, so he had on one Canadian guy.
God, but you're going to have on, what do you call that guy, George Lightfoot.
Yeah, what about George Lightfoot?
Who's George Lightfoot?
Guy was a folk singer.
Gordon Lightfoot. What is it with you as everything is George?
George Ebert.
George Ebert. The guy's name is... I'm going to belt somebody in about 5 minutes.
What's his name?
His name is George Strombolopoulos, Roger Ebert, and Gordon Lightfoot, not George Lightfoot.
But you said he interviewed the guy from the Beach Boys, George Wilson. Get out of here.
George Wilson. All right, so anyway... Maybe I'll, but I didn't hear back from him. So that was the one fun thing.
What?
God, George Lightfoot. So that was the one fun thing that I was going to do. Not the one fun thing, but that was the one thing I thought I'd do when I was in Toronto. But then I have my two nephews, and these guys are a couple of maniacs, and they're both big dudes. They're both like hockey players, and, you know, typical Canadian guys, and they want me to go out with them just pounding some beers, you know, pounding down the Canadian suds. So I'll probably spend a couple of nights doing that.
What about that one? You had that one cousin?
My cousin Paul. Yeah, he lives down in, and it was funny because I was texting my cousin Fran, and she says to me, and then we'll go to Biafra.
What?
Yeah. But it was not Biafra, it was just the spell correct on her iPad. She was trying to type Niagara Falls, and because she misspelled it, the spell correct went to the nearest thing, Biafra.
Biafra's in Africa.
I know it's in Africa. So in other words, you guys know more about, you guys at iPad, or you're going to go to Biafra, that's the default, instead of Niagara Falls? Anyway, I said, where's Biafra? She said, oh, I meant to say Niagara Falls. I said, okay. So we're going to go down to Niagara Falls. It's not like I don't have a deep burning thing about Niagara Falls, you know. Although, I guess it'd be cool to see. I actually did see it once when I was five. But more to the point, I'm going to go down to visit my my cousin who lives down that way. My cousin Paul and his girlfriend. And, you know, hang with them and then go back and hang out. There's a whole bunch of stuff. One of the things that I'm going to really be interested in doing is when I was talking to my cousins, and I said, you know, and we were sharing stories because our mothers were sisters.
Right.
And they were asking me stuff about my mom, and I was asking them stuff about their mom, my aunt Glady. And a lot of it was very interesting. So we sort of shared opinions. And I got a stinking hunch I'm going to learn stuff that I've always suspected about that side of the Hendry family, but I was never quite... shall we say, I never quite could verify, but now I just might.
What is it?
None of your business. I'll tell you when I get back. And the other thing they did is they sent me pictures. This is an interesting... the interesting fact of my family is this. I don't know, I have never met any blood grandparent. My mother's parents that I met were step-parents. Both of her blood parents, her mother, died when she was 9 years old, and her father was divorced from her mother and was not allowed to see the children, and so my mom never saw her real father.
What do you mean, not allowed?
That's the story. The story is that the man that my grandmother married, who was the man that I came to know as my grandfather, Frank Crow, he's a cop. The story is he did not allow that ex-husband anywhere near the house or the kids. Now, I don't know what that's about, but my mom never, as a result of that, saw her real father. But, and I'm leading up to something here, they sent me a picture of him. So for the very first time in my life, in the last 2 months, I've actually gotten a picture of my grandmother and my grandfather on my mom's side, both of whom are blood relatives. And that was, you know, kind of a big thing.
Yeah, but your dad, man, they're never going to find that guy, are they?
I guess not. My father was illegitimate. They used to call in those days illegitimate. Now they just say...
It's Casey Anthony's kid.
It's Casey Anthony's.
Will you shut up about that?
My father, you know, they didn't know his dad. I mean, he was adopted by another couple. So it's there's a whole lot of the Henry family history going back to Toronto, Canada. And you understand that my dad moved the family out here in 1949, 1950. So that I was born in the United States in 1952, and my sister Marianne was born a year later in 53. So we are the two Americans, or I guess you could say born naturally born Americans here, whereas my parents and my older brother and older sister were born in Canada. But they moved here, and I'll never forget my mom coming through the door. I was a little kid, but I remember my mom saying to me, I took my oath of allegiance today, we became American citizens. You have to live here 5 years, you know, or in those days you did.
So what that was like when you was in kindergarten?
Yeah, I would have been 5 years old. No, excuse me. I would have been 3 years old because they came in 1950. So the other story that's really kind of sad is the old lady that visited when I was very small. The old lady, we called her, Agnes, and she came and visited, and she was the nicest lady. And she used to greet me as I got off the bus for kindergarten, all this stuff. Well, that old lady turned out to be my father's real mother.
Man, how do you keep track of everybody? You know the real mother, the fake mother?
This was my dad's real mother, and she came to California to visit him and to, I guess, to make amends or something. And it didn't work because that's the last time we ever saw her. And my dad told me years later that he told her to leave and never come back.
Man, that's tough.
It was. I would have liked to have known her because I thought she was a very cool lady. But, you know, whatever, my old man was hung up, so that's that. That's a long time ago, man, you know.
Yeah, it's going to come rushing back next week.
Well, maybe that's why I'm kind of not looking forward to it, you know. I know that there's going to be some weird truths that are going to come. I don't know. All right, we're going to come back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Why are we getting so fat? Well, because we eat a lot of fat food, you know. But a new study points to one particular snack food. We'll find out what that is. And does marijuana have anything to do with it? No. But some people want to change the marijuana laws anyway. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry in HDTV, as well as our podcast and our merchandise at philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And I'll tell you, this show does things that other talk shows only dream about doing, and as a result, you know, they we're like the crazy uncle they keep in the attic, you know.
Yeah, they don't pay no attention, man. They're afraid.
They're not afraid. They just, you know, they would rather keep us at arm's length. Radio keeps us at arm's length because we remind them of all the things. We remind them of all the things they could do that they don't do. There it is in a nutshell, okay? You know, and by the way, I read between the lines, you guys, and I'm not speaking to anybody in particular. I'm not speaking to you folks out there in Radio Land. I'm talking to my fellow professionals. I read you guys on Twitter loud and clear, man. I know things are rough. All of my Twitter mates out there, man, Opie, Anthony, Bubba, you know, some of Howard's people. Oh, yeah, I know. I know what you guys are saying. I'm dealing with the same thing. 877-876-PHIL. Blame the potato chip, baby. That's the one we were talking about. We said, what is the snack food that is putting the fat on your ass faster than anything else? The potato chip! And it just so happens to be my favorite snack food.
I love potato chips, too.
Yeah.
I like them, Maui chip.
I love them all, man. Potato chips are the bomb. And guess what, Jack? They stick fat on you faster than anything. Faster than any pudding, ice cream, anything. Blame the potato chip. It's the biggest demon behind that pound-a-year weight creep that plagues many of us, a major diet study found. Bigger than soda, candy, and ice cream. And the reason is partly that old advertiser cliche, you can't eat, what is it?
You bet you can't eat one.
Yeah.
Bet you can't eat one. No, it isn't. It's bet you can't.
Bet you can only eat one.
No, not bet you can only eat one. It's you can't eat just one.
Uh-uh.
Yes, it's you can only eat one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can only eat one.
No, it's you can't. It's you can't just eat one. Anyway, they're very tasty. They have a very good texture. People generally don't take one or two chips. They take the whole bag to bed, like my wife, said obesity expert. No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that. Said obesity expert Dr. F. Xavier P. Sunier of the Pea Soup Institute. No, of St. Luke's Hospital and Hospice Care in New York. Actually, it's called St. Luke Roosevelt Hospital Center, but I thought I'd shorten it up and change the name. What we eat and how much of it we consume has far more impact than exercise and most other habits do on long-term weight gain, according to the study by Harvard University scientists. It's the most comprehensive look yet at the effect of individual foods and lifestyle choices like sleep time and quitting smoking. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what murdered me, man.
Yeah, man, you put on a lot of weight.
I put on more weight when I quit smoking than you could imagine. What is this, man? When I quit smoking, I might as well tell the truth right now. I'm going to have to.
Better not, man. People are going to think you're weird.
I don't give a damn, okay? When I gave up smoking, I put on weight. I gained about 50 pounds. I went to 300 pounds.
Man, that's sad, man.
You bet it's sad. I went to the doctor, man. They put me on the scale. It was 305. I said, you got to be kidding. And that's when I started this exercise regimen that I'm still on almost a year later. You know,
how much weight have you lost?
I've lost about 30 pounds.
That's it?
That's it. And I'll tell you why. I was not, I decided the first thing that I would do is to begin exercise. So I started an exercise program, but I didn't regulate my eating because I felt that with enough exercise, and this is all I'm doing it myself, you know, with enough exercise, I'll be able to take the weight off. Because I don't really eat bad. I don't eat bad foods. I'm not a big snack food eater. I generally eat pretty well. So, but, you know, every now and again, I like to have my breads and things like that. So I was exercising a good 4 or 5 months. I dropped maybe 10 pounds tops. I couldn't believe it. And that's when I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to take seriously the whole diet thing. And that's when I went to the caveman thing, which is essentially what I've been doing ever since then.
Yeah, well, what's the caveman's just like eating steak and eating a salad and everything, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm mixing it up now. Like, tonight we had salmon and a beautiful vegetable medley that was quite delicious. But I ain't doing any of that jazz. Like, I'm not eating any of that, the bread or rice or anything, man. That's all done. It's over. As far as, like, snack food or, I don't know, dessert food and stuff, what's wrong with eating an entire package of Oreos? I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so, you know, every now and again I'll put away a package of Oreos or I'll eat a whole half gallon of ice cream. Nothing too bingy, nothing bad.
Yeah, but I think that's healthy.
Occasionally I get a big bag of those Hershey bars.
Man, yeah, you're never going to lose weight doing that.
Oh, get out of here. I'm kidding around. Big bag of Hershey bars. But the potato chip, oh my God, I love them, man.
What kind do you buy? I see you buy like you guys get a Lay's potato chip and stuff.
Yeah, Lay's potato chips are good. But you know, the great potato chips of yore, man, they ain't got the Bell brand, Granny Goose, man, none of that stuff.
I never heard of that.
Nah, they ain't got that anymore. Now they've got Kettle brand, I dig.
I like that pepper one.
I like the Kettle brand. I like those Lay's potato chips. You know, potato chips are good, especially with a good potato chip dip. Man, you can't beat it. Now they're telling me that I can't have another potato chip as long as I live?
God will not permit this to happen.
Exactly. So anyway, watch your potato chip intake, kids. And I won't. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. More on this weight study, plus Colorado police are looking for a peeping Tom that hides in a porta-potty. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. Well, you know the rest. And we thank Bobby and Steve Dooley for joining us tonight as they are trying to keep a wounded warrior. They're trying to keep out of their neighborhood a doctor who was wounded in Iraq, lost her leg. They're trying to keep her out of their neighborhood because they were afraid that the sound of her peg leg dragging on the asphalt will keep people awake at night. Outstanding.
What a douchebag.
You got that right. And then, of course, our first hour there with Justin McElroy and David G. Ho, that Ryan Dunn's passing was tragic, and that, at least in the mind of Justin, he wants not to hear one thing, not one thing, not even a little bit, about what happened in the accident that took the life of Ryan Dunn. So we thank you two for coming on and making our show all that much better. So anyway, let's get back to this potato chip story.
Yeah. I want to hear about a potato chip you had when you kid.
We had great potato chips, man. I mean, I don't want to start sounding like some old creep. Boy, back in the day. But, I mean, anybody who's, if you call yourself a human being, you must know that we had a thing called Laura Scudder's potato chips.
Never heard of it.
You know, I can't believe that we had these potato chips because I woke up one day and they were gone.
What are you really talking about, Laura Scudder? Who's she?
Laura Scudder was the... In fact, Laura Scudder potato chips were so common that... and I was a kid, I didn't put two and two together. I didn't think it was a name. I thought it was just Laura Scudder potato chip was like just some... That's the sound they put to the potato chip.
But that's a lady, right?
Yeah, Laura Scudder. Laura Scudder's potato chips, man. Unreal. Fantastic. Then, Bell Brand potato chips. Now, the Bell Brand potato chip had a jingle. And it goes something like this. There's one kind of potato chip. Wait a minute. There's all kinds of potato chips, but one kind rings the bell. If it's Bell, it's Swell, okay?
Get out of here. You're lying.
No, I swear to God, man.
You're not making that up.
No. But here's what happened to me. I got detention in high school when I was singing to myself, and I guess I was singing it too loudly. Because a friend of mine and I had sung this song, and we thought it was so funny that I couldn't get it out of my head. There's all kinds of potato chips, but one kind sucks the blank. If it's Bell, it's blank.
What are you talking about, man?
I was saying something dirty, okay? I was singing it to myself.
In high school?
In high school. And a teacher walked by and heard me and said, Mr. Hendry, to the office. And I got detention. Because I sang this, there's all kinds of potato chips. One kind sucks the blank. If it's Bell, it's blank.
See, I can't think of the word to rhyme with that.
Put an O in it.
What?
Put an O in it, man. I don't know. That's what I did. I put an O in it.
There's all kinds of potato chip. The one kind sucks the...
Don't say it.
If it's Bell, it's blank.
Just put an O in it, man.
Oh, okay. So what you did was you changed the spelling to make it fit.
Yes. It was a ridiculous, asinine, stupid, dumb song that I got caught by the teacher singing, and they gave me detention. What are you doing, bud?
I'm writing it out. Sometimes they say if you write it out...
Will you get... Here, I'll write it for the people at home. The first word is... I'm sorry for those of you who are listening on radio alone. I can't tell you, but for those of you who are watching on our video cast, the first word is that one. There's all kinds of potato chips, but one kind sucks the blank. And then if it's Bell, it's... Can you see that? Yeah.
Oh, you put an O in. Okay.
Yeah, see? I'm sorry. So, anyway, that was Bell brand potato chips.
You got a good, like a dirty one for Laura Scudder? I bet you, that'd be fun, man. Laura Scudder, yeah. Yeah, I gave it to Laura Scudder.
Although, will you shut up about that? No, I didn't write anything dirty about Laura Scudder. Then they had Granny Goose. Now, that one was way out there. Granny Goose potato chips. I don't know what got into the guy that made those. I guess the guy's name was Granny Goose.
So it was a guy?
No, it was a... I don't know who it was. But nonetheless, there was Granny Goose potato chips, and those were outstanding, too. And they... excuse me. They used to do a TV commercial. And the Granny Goose TV commercial was a cowboy who would ride up looking all hard-ass, you know, like maybe Jack Palance and City Slickers, you know. And he'd ride up and go, "Hi, I'm Granny Goose." And he'd pull out this bag of potato chips and eat these potato chips. That was Granny Goose potato chips. But they ain't got none of them anymore.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man. The potato chip back then, they probably had all kind of oil, all that stuff. Now the one today, way more healthy for you.
Bull crap. The ones today are just as bad for you.
Yeah, but they're made with pepper and stuff.
It doesn't make any difference. The potato chips they got today are just as bad for you, if not worse. And according to the article that we just read, where is it, man? According to the article that we just read, potato chips are the number one fat-producing snack in the world. Now, here's the thing about potato chips. What we eat and how much of it we consume has far more impact than exercise and most other habits do on a long-term weight gain basis, according to a study at Harvard University. It's the most comprehensive look yet at the effect of individual foods and lifestyle choices like sleep time and quitting smoking. Weight problems are epidemic. Two-thirds of American adults are overweight or obese. Two-thirds overweight or obese. Childhood obesity has tripled in the past three decades. But according to Charlie the Fountain, we should let kids get fat and smell bad. That way, you know...
Yeah, child predators.
The predators don't want them. But somehow I don't think that that's a very wise course. Anyway, pounds often are packed on gradually over decades, and many people struggle to limit weight gain without realizing what's causing it. Doctors analyzed changes in diet and lifestyle habits of 120,000 people from three long-running medical studies. All were health professionals and not obese at the start. Their weight was measured every 4 years for up to two decades, and they detailed their diet on questionnaires. On average, participants gained nearly 17 pounds over the 20-year period. On average. Okay, I gained way more than that over a 20-year period. For each 4-year period, food choices contributed nearly 4 pounds. Exercise, for those who did it, cut less than 2 pounds. So what this study is telling us, and we were talking about this during the break, is very simply this. It's food, not exercise, that is the number one determinant of how much you're going to weigh. What you eat. Not how much you eat, necessarily. What you eat. Potato chips were the biggest dietary offender. Each daily serving contained 1 ounce, about 15 chips and 160 calories, led to a 1.69-pound uptick over 4 years. That's compared to sweets and desserts, which added only a half a pound. For starchy potatoes, other than chips, the gain was 1.28 pounds, while the Spud group, French fries were worse for the waist than boiled, baked, or mashed potatoes. No kidding.
What do you mean, no kidding?
Well, we know that French fried potatoes are fattening. Fried anything is not a good idea. But potatoes are not necessarily a fat. It's a necessary food. It's in the old starch family of foods, you know. No, bud, not the kind you spray on your collar.
Oh.
So it's something we need. Like baked potatoes, boiled potatoes, that stuff's good, man. But you eat that garbage, you eat that fried crap. That's because a serving of large fries contains between 500 to 600 calories compared with a serving of large baked potato at 280 calories. Soda. Now, this is the one that Jason was telling me. Sugary soda added a pound over 4 years. Eating more fruits and vegetables and other unprocessed foods led to less weight gain, probably because they are fiber-rich and they make people feel fuller and you crap more. Sorry, but, you know.
Yeah, Raisin Bran, too. Tell them about the time you ate that box of Raisin Bran.
Will you shut up? I'll tell people what I want to tell them. One time I ate a box of Raisin Bran. Well, anyway. For each four-year period, these factors had these effects on weight. An alcoholic drink a day, 0.41-pound increase. This is for a four-year period. This was the average weight gain by drinking one alcoholic drink a day, a half a pound. Watching an hour of TV a day, 0.31-pound increase. So watching an hour of TV a day put on less weight than one drink. So you might as well watch TV and not drink. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what I took from it.
Anyway, recently quitting smoking, a 5-pound increase. Do you love it? Boy, that put it on me, man. The study was funded by the National Institute of Health and a foundation. What's the name of the foundation? Well, anyway, several researchers reported receiving fees from drug and nutrition companies. Humans naturally like fat and sweets, so Dr. David Heber, director of the UCLA Center for Human Nutrition. He had no role in the study. That's why we always tell people to eat their fruits and vegetables. Eat your fruits and vegetables. That's what you got to do. And the federal government earlier this year issued new dietary guidelines advising people to eat smarter. This month, it ditched the food pyramid. The food pyramid is no more. The longtime symbol of healthy eating in favor of a dinner plate divided into four sections containing fruits. What do you think it contains, bud?
Starches.
Wrong. What about you, Robert?
Like nuts?
Nuts? What do you mean, nuts?
Yeah, there's not one of the four basic groups.
Nuts? No. Nuts. Fruits, vegetables.
Fruits and nuts.
What do you mean, fruits and nuts?
Ain't that it?
No, that's not it.
Well, how come they always put fruit and nut together?
Maybe in some comedy routines they do. It's got nothing to do with nutrition. Will you listen to me? Fruits, vegetables, protein, and grains. Fruits, vegetables, protein. Now, what do you think, see, when we say protein, people think, oh, soy products. Well, the word is we got to have animal protein, man. So that's chicken, that's fish, that's beef. So you get your fruits, you get your vegetables, you get your protein, and you get your grains. That's your dinner plate, and that's what they have divided it into. So there you go, man. What do you think?
I don't know, man, but I'll say that you keep on going what you're doing. You'll lose the weight someday.
Yeah, someday.
Oh, thank you very much. Someday. I got news for you guys. I'm in that movie at the end of July, right?
Yeah.
I will have lost 30 pounds by then. You watch me.
30, man? You ain't going to lose no 30 pounds. You'll die if you lose 30 pounds.
I will have lost a lot, 25 pounds by then. You watch me. All right. We'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. Representative Barney Frank and Ron Paul want marijuana legalized. Isn't that nice? Well, that right there, that guarantees there isn't a chance. Barney Frank and Ron Paul. Legalized weed ain't going to happen. Thanks a lot. Anyway, will it happen in our lifetime? I doubt it. Phil Hendry Show will be back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, and welcome back here in our final segment. What were we doing here? I've totally lost. I was looking for one of the Earth cams. I was looking for the Earth cam, bud.
Which one?
Looking for the Hollywood Boulevard one. I just looked at that Abbey Road one. I can't believe that's actually live. These Earth cams I'm very fascinated with because they can give us a little bit of backdrop on what we do here on our Phil TV at night. And generally we'll use the... Either we'll use Hollywood, or we oftentimes will use, for instance, this one here. People watching Phil TV, that is the El Pacifico. So that's right, that's the Pacific Ocean, man.
Boy, man, I would love to dive into that right now, you know?
Looks refreshing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing right there, man. Anyway, welcome back here to the program, our final segment tonight. And as I mentioned, we will be off next week as we travel to Toronto, Canada. But I'd like you to follow along my travel diary. It'll be right there on the homepage of our website, philhendryshow.com. There'll be photographs. There will be my little travel log, my journal, which I can update via my marvelous iPhone. And I'll be doing that as much as possible while we're out on the road. I did that last year about this time. Where were we, Robert?
You went down to St. Vincent.
Yeah, we were in the Grenadines, and as a matter of fact, we sent back video from the Grenadines. Now, that has proved to be, it's not that difficult to do now, but I think I would much rather just send you guys photographs that you can see on the homepage, and we'll start doing that on Sunday as we are, you know, sending along our reports from Canada. All right, so here is the legislation we were telling you about. This is weed legislation. Members of Congress will bring forth a bill Thursday that supporters say is the first ever introduced to end federal law, federal laws that prohibit marijuana. The legislation, authored by Representative Barney Frank and Representative Ron Paul, would limit the federal government's role in marijuana enforcement to cross-border or interstate smuggling, letting people legally grow, use, or sell marijuana in states that allow it without fear of federal prosecution. The bill's original co-sponsors include Representatives John Conyers of Michigan, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Democrats, Jared Polls of Colorado, and Barbara Lee of Oakland. The human cost of the failed drug war has been enormous, egregious racial disparities, yada, 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 yada. There's not one Republican has signed on except for Ron Paul. This is not going to pass. I can give you all the reasons why it won't pass, but let's read on. Let's see here. Lee has backed earlier marijuana reform efforts, including Barney Frank's bill in 2008, which would have eliminated federal criminal penalties for adults possessing up to 100 grams. But Marijuana Policy Project spokesman Morgan Fox said that earlier bill would not have lifted all aspects of federal prohibition, while the current one removes all federal. Well, all right. These are well-meaning efforts, but it isn't going to happen. And the reason why it isn't going to happen is because the country remains very, very stupid when it comes to marijuana. Very stupid. The country remains, I'm going to say this again, the country remains very stupid when it comes to marijuana. There's also one other thing at work. And this is not stupid. This is based upon, and when I say stupid, let me explain.
Yeah, you can't just say that.
All right, let me explain. The phonied up federal report, and it was phonied up on purpose by this Anslinger in the 1930s, so that marijuana would be a drug that was demonized to the point where, you know, your daughters would be having sex with blacks and Mexicans, and your sons would become beatniks. All of this was created because weed, the very first weed prohibition was in Texas. Weed was coming over the border from Mexico. This was the thinking at the time in the 30s, and Mexico was considered to be a place where people who originated from Mexico, where people were of a lower morality and were going to corrupt our daughters, and one of the things that they were bringing with them to do that was weed. So you had to keep this weed out, and the federal government, under the aegis of this Harry Anslinger, who was at that time, I guess, the closest thing you could find in this country to a drug czar, phonied this report. It is one that has had such wide circulation. It has been debunked over and over and over and over again. It has been ripped to shreds left and right, but it's very hard once a lie has been told often enough, and a big enough lie has been told often enough, it's very, very difficult to untell it, just like you trying to unring a bell. So today we still suffer and labor under the misconceptions created by that report, that it's a gateway drug, that it's addictive, that it's this and that it's that and that it's a million other things. There's also, and so that's why you have seemingly intelligent men like John McCain, who I think is a very bright guy, and he's a senator in good standing, a long-standing leader in our country. John McCain, a hero, a veteran. But when it comes to weed, because I talked about marijuana legalization, and John McCain isn't too bright about it. He buys the gateway drug thing. There's one other thing. The American people have had a lot of experience with booze and what booze has done. The legalization of booze, the taxing of booze, the non-taxing of booze, the controlling of booze, the revenuers and the moonshiners and the this and the that, and a million other things that have affected this country when it comes to this mood-enhancing or mood-altering drug called alcohol. We've had a, you know, we've had our hands full dealing with that. And that's a long-standing experience that we've had. It's one that we don't want to have to repeat. And when you talk about legalizing another drug or whatever you want to call it that has up to this point been prohibited, it gives us pause. And we go back and we say, now, wait just a minute. Look at all the stuff we do. Well, no, this is better. I don't blame them for saying, you really, better? Guess what, Charlie? Take a number and a seat. We'll get to you. So
it'll never be legal.
Maybe it'll never be legal, but the fact is, there's all kinds of dope, and you can get it just about anywhere. So, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director, has been Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. We thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Get yourself a backstage pass and join us here tomorrow night for Phil TV in HD. Andrew.